Toxic Talk is proud to be partnering with Savage Grit Supply. Unleash your inner strength with Savage Grit. Our brand is for hard workers in every walk of life, from blue collar to stay-at-home moms, barbers, and tattoo artists. Embrace the grit and Savage Grit's dope designs. To keep up to date on the latest styles and designs, follow them on Instagram at @savage_grit_. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram and get brand new merch at themacynicole.com. Coming up on this week's episode of Toxic Talk with Macy and Reed.
Like, here you go. Here's actually my life.
Yeah.
Y'all can pin and take whatever y'all want out of it and right. have it. Hey, mean girl, why don't you say what you mean,
girl? I carry between the lies and all the heartbreak. Welcome to Toxic Talk. I'm Farrell Harrell.
I'm Macy Nicole.
And I'm Amanda Simmons that gets hate comments.
And we're going to talk about it. You know what sucks? Is social media is a necessary evil.
It's literally the new, I say, soap opera going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's where everybody goes for questions. It's Google for people right now.
Yeah.
That's a good way to, you say soap opera?
Yeah, it's a soap opera.
That's a good way to put that.
No, I'm saying it's literally a soap opera. I'll be like laying in bed and I'm like scrolling. And it'd be like, POV, I can't believe such and such and such and such is going through this. And I'm like, huh? And the next scroll is like, live videos of people recording their lives.
Wait, are you talking about the same thing that I'm thinking about whenever you say that? Was it like, Lord, forgive me?
Yes. I'm being serious. I'm like, and then I get so invested
I
have to like go in.
You're scrolling for hours.
Because I have to go to that little account that posted the live video. So I have to figure out what they're talking about. And then I go back, scroll again. And it's another like,
the fucking tea pages.
Yeah, I can't believe this is going on. And I'm like,
dude,
I'm like, how about we all meet up on Dr. Phil and we just all let it out? Because I'm like, this is a soap
opera.
Because
that would be a four-day episode.
Yeah, that would be a four-day episode.
He would make so much money off of it.
Catch me outside.
How about that?
And Will. The reason I knew exactly what you were talking about was because that is what started the rabbit hole for me. And I had to go and I called Reed and I was like, dude, I spent like 4 hours last night. Could not sleep. Was laying in the bed just scrolling.
That's how it was. I stayed up till like 2 a.m. looking and listening. And I'm like, what am I doing? But we have to realize that like social media is like where people go to get advice. It's where people go to stay invested in other people's lives. Like, I've never understood it until this past like couple of months. Like when things have been going on that I'm like, people really like get invested in their lives. Mm-hmm. Like me, I just go to work every day. Like I'm just here to work. I'm here to have fun, not sit here and worry about who such and such is with such and such. Like I don't care. Like it's their life. Like why do you have to
stick
your nose in there?
We don't care because I agree. We don't care.
Yeah.
But the people care.
But people care.
We kind of get invested sometimes without even knowing it.
Oh yeah, we do. And it's because it's addicting.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's addicting. They make it addicting. But a lot of things are stunts. Like, you know, like a lot of things go on social media as stunts and to get views and to get clout. And that's what people worry about. Well, instead of having the TikTok that was like back in 2020, you know, where it was like dance videos. We was all lip singing. We was all trying to be Charli D'Amelio over here. Like, that's what I was trying to do. And now like, if you
ain't never done no TikTok dance, I can't do that.
It's okay. I can teach you.
No, you can't.
Yes.
Can we please do a TikTok dance just one time?
Yes. You can try to teach me a TikTok dance.
I got you. I'm a dance teacher.
And we'll make a video.
I taught dance for like 4 years.
You ain't seen me try to move.
I can teach anybody anything. Promise it.
Matter of fact, my back hurts right now.
We're going to take you up on that.
No, we're going to take a break. Be back in 5.
And I'll learn a TikTok. I learned one TikTok dance one time, and it was because my sister
I know you can do this one. It's not that hard.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
You got it. Okay. See? She's just overthinking it. Look, Reed's got it.
What's my signature dance move?
Oh yeah, the last.
But she also does the feet. Like she shuffles her feet, and then she's like,
"And it does not matter where you're looking for me. Barstool, Whiskey River, AJ,
catch us downtown, and she guarantees she's doing
Wilmington,
that dance.
North Carolina. Said, it doesn't matter where I'm at.
She said I'm throwing the dance moves out there.
That's all I'm doing.
That's okay.
Shuffle to the
she
right.
She gets it though. She does
shuffle
it.
To the left.
That's it.
Love it. I love
That's
it.
That's what I'm doing.
Love it.
Unless I'm drunk and I turn around and I like shake my ankles a little bit to make my butt cheeks jiggle, but that's it.
They've been getting it lately.
Oh, yeah, because I've been getting fat. Oh, that was something we were talking about. Okay.
Yes, let's talk about it.
So somebody commented and asked if I was pregnant. They're like, you've been gaining a lot of weight lately. Are you pregnant? And I got up there. I was like, first of all, y'all are bold.
Yeah.
So bold in these comments.
I hate when people say that because you can say, hey, I got a surprise for y'all. Like before I opened my boutique and everything.
Yeah.
I always kept putting out like, y'all be ready July. I was pushing for like July 14th, I think, or something like that. And I kept saying, y'all be ready July 14th, have this big surprise. When I tell you the amount of people that texted me and like commented the audacity to be like, oh, she's just pregnant.
Yeah.
She's just pregnant. July 12th came around, baby, and I dropped a boutique. You was wrong.
And that was your baby.
Yep, that was my baby.
Dropped it, baby.
Dropped it right on you. Well,
so my thing, what I said, and right after I said it, I was like, damn, I actually really enjoyed that I said that. Because I said, why is it that y'all are always, first thing you say is, oh, she's gaining weight, she must be pregnant. Why are you trying to give me that much credit? Like, say what it is. I have lost my sense of self-control.
Yep.
Okay. I have not been dieting. I have not been watching my portions. None of that. I've been eating. Okay. I'm talking chomping, chunking, snacking, eating. I do want a cookie. And I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I've been eating like a motherfucker. How much weight have I gained? Probably 15 pounds at this point. Do I give a shit? No. Why? Number one, I still look good. I could be 400 pounds. I'm still going to look good because I just look good. Yep. Just looking good starts on the inside.
Yep.
Yeah.
You look good on the inside. Baby, I look good. You have the confidence. Yep.
Okay.
Do you have the confidence to put on your clothes and walk out your front door every single day? Then you have the confidence to wear anything.
I could walk out over there to the putt shack and put on my rainbow pants, some parachute pants. Baby, I still walk in there like I look good. Yeah. Okay.
You can't tell me nothing.
You can't tell me shit. I don't care how much weight I've gained. 100%. However, I have gained some weight.
Yeah.
But it's good weight.
They
find
it in the
You do look good. Well,
that's
why I'm good.
That's where I was going with that is because
it's happy
weight.
It's you're happy. You're not, you know, we're not in our let's say people don't understand like when girls get in our sad.
Actually, let me stop you right there because she's not happy.
Okay.
She is sad eating, okay?
I was getting to that point. I was about to be like, well
that's
some guys don't understand. When we get depressed, we either starve ourselves or we eat.
Yeah.
Or we get stressed out, we eat or we don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
We get sad, we either eat or we don't eat. Like it depends on the people. Like when I'm sad, oh honey, you best believe I ain't finna eat.
You're not gonna eat if you're sad.
No. Like when I'm stressed out, sad, depressed, everything, I'm not eating.
So most of my friends are that if they're stressed out, they don't eat.
No, I can't because like my stomach's in a knot. Like nothing sounds good. I can't eat. Like I'm just like, no, like I cannot do this.
Well, not me. Because here's what I do. If I'm happy, I'm cooking a lot. So I'm just eating like good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I'm sad, then I'm just like
DoorDash.
Yeah, then I'm just eating whatever. It doesn't matter.
DoorDash.
Like I'm not cooking up good yummy meals, be creative, you know, having a good time. Like that's what I do when I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because when I'm happy, I have good ideas and I want to make these dishes and I want to cook.
You be seeing them Facebook.
Yeah. So I'm doing all kinds of stuff when
recipes.
I'm happy. So yeah, I gain weight then too. But when I'm sad, as long as I'm not hate myself sad. Now if I'm like I did some fuck shit and now I'm mad at myself.
Yeah.
No, I'm not eating because that's my punishment.
Yeah. Like that's I'm mad.
Same.
Yeah. I messed that up, but no, but also people always can hide behind a screen.
Yeah, they'll say some off the wall.
They will always,
shit.
I'm dealing with it right now. Like I'm getting body shamed right now. And it's so crazy to me because I just, out of nowhere, like I came on TikTok and when I first started coming on TikTok, I thought I could be like Charli D'Amelio. I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I could come on here because I've danced my entire life. I was a competitive dancer for like 18 years. And so I came on here and I started dancing, you know, then never got hate because, you know, those were the trends. That was the trend back now. Well, now, you know, since Beyonce came out with her little song, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's a trend going around. You dance. There's a line dance to it. I'm like, okay, like, yeah, like, let's do it. I do it when I was in Vegas for the Super Bowl and got body shamed like nothing.
Like, nothing. What are they saying?
This little user that's like black screen, you know, no profile.
Okay, they're my favorite.
Somebody who's probably known you since high school.
I think so. I think it's somebody in my little small town.
Uh-huh.
That's watching every move that I make.
Yeah.
Hey, we relate to that.
How flattering.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I can't believe, like, you know, that you'll step out of your way and do this. Like, you really think you're something. Like, you'll never make it out there. Baby, watch me. Because if there's a tryout, I will go try out for the Super Bowl.
And she will.
And I will. And I will.
And she will.
And I will. But I've been so insecure in my body my whole life. Oh. Like, insecure in my body.
Really? As yes. a dancer? Well, yes. Okay, I guess that makes sense because there's more pressure.
You
got
to think, like, when you're standing next to a girl that's, like, you know, 5'6", mm-hmm. I'm 5 foot, 4'11" some days, you know, 5 foot the next days. Mm-hmm. But when you're standing next to a 5'6" girl that's got these little lanky legs, you know, that look good, skinny little waist, and then you look at me and you're like,
got some meat on
so I always like wore waist trainers when I danced. Mm-hmm. Like I would wear like three of them. I would wear one up here on my chest, down here on my stomach, and my lower body and dance. I would be in the dance studio from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. at night. Wore them things nonstop because I was always insecure in my body.
Oh, that's
terrible. And then when I moved to Texas, I guess I got happy weight because I was like having a blast out there.
Yeah.
Going out to the stockyards, you know, whatever. DoorDash became my best friend way too much.
Yeah.
Gained a lot of weight. When I moved back home to Tennessee, I realized I was like, dang, like, I was like size 7, size 8 jeans. And I'm like, these are not like what I used to be. Like, you know, started looking at other girls, like going to the bars because I'm a bartender and like seeing girls next to me. I'm like,
comparison is the hardest.
It's the hardest thing, but I've always done it. I think it's just because I was a dancer.
Yeah.
We did dance competitions, I've done pageants. Like, it's always a comparison for me, and I got so insecure in my body that I hated it. I always wore sweatshirts, always wore leggings, like everything. And so this past, like, I guess 2-3 months ago, I started losing weight. Well, I just started noticing that I just don't eat as much, you know? Like, I finally got in that thing. Well, I lost, like, 20, 25 pounds. I'm like, dang, I look good.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me nothing. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm about to go on a cruise.
That's when you're like, oh, I'm about to do, like, everything I ever wanted to
I'm
do.
I'm about to go on a cruise next Sunday, and I'm like, I put on my swimsuits the other day. I literally strutted myself in my parents' house. And I was like, Mom, look at this swimsuit.
How good do I look
right
now? And
Mom was like, okay, girl, like, I see you. You look good. I'm like, Mom, I wore this last year, and I did not look as good. And she's like, no, you look good, baby. You look good. When I tell you I went and put on jeans today to come to this podcast, and I was like, oh, my gosh, these are my favorite pair of ripped jeans. I did not look at the size of, you know, size 7, right? I put them on, and they go, and I'm like, Mom, like, I run back out, like, it's everything. I have to run and show my mom because it's like something that I've been like so proud about, not to be like super skinny, but I've always been so insecure in my body that it's finally, I've gotten to the point where it's like, I'm good. And then when I posted that video at the Super Bowl, it's like, when I saw that comment, I'm like, maybe I can't do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got in that doubtful moment because as a dancer, you don't want to be told, you know, no, but somebody's always better than you, you know, and you always look up to that person.
Right.
And that little freaking username kept coming back and kept body shaming me and body shaming me. And I think my mom knew it was like getting to me because I would not post another dance video. And, like, the other day, my mom was filming me for me because she's my little cameraman. And
that's adorable.
Like, my mom is a, she be.
Also, if you're wondering, the listeners, why I'm so quiet, because I have no idea. I'm a dude. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. This is like me and a Macy conversation.
I'm just saying, y'all just like, do your thing over there, okay?
Yeah.
And so, that's okay. You just come in when you need to.
Yeah, you come in when you need to, okay? This is a heart-to-heart moment over here. Yeah. So my mom was like, why don't you do your dance video again? And I was like, no. Like, I just don't want to. I finally told myself, like, I recorded it. And I finally posted it, and I literally commented, like, the caption was, yes or no. And if you go right now and, like, look through those comments, people are like, absolutely not. Like, how do you have the audacity to post this video? And I'm like, the audacity for you to have to come and comment and tell me that?
Right.
Why don't you say it to my face?
Yeah.
Like, why not? But when I click on your profile, it says follow back.
Okay, this is one of my favorite moments.
Right?
It does say follow back.
It says follow back. And I'm like, really? Like, okay.
Like, but now I'm like into the point where I'm like,
do not body shame, y'all. Because this is the biggest pet peeve. I have family members and stuff that, like, have suffered from, like, not eating and being to where they can't gain weight.
Right.
You know? People can struggle with that mentally, but you don't know. But you're sitting behind your screen and comment on somebody's video that could hurt their feelings to a very far extent. And I'm like, luckily it was me and not somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, because me, I can take it. I'll take the hurt. But
I think the craziest part is, like, we're sitting here like, damn, that does make people sad. Like, we're all people. Yeah. They don't give a fuck.
No, they
that's
don't.
That's how mean and delusional they are.
Well, the thing is, it is actually, it's way deeper than that. And I say this all the time. And I have had, especially when he had all that shit going on not too long ago with the whole girl situation and I was being called a mean girl. I've had so many people, whenever I talk like this, they're like, oh, you can act all high and mighty if you want to, but you're still a mean girl. I mean it when I say this. The flip side of these mean people making these things up to say to us, you know, intentionally hurting our feelings, telling us we suck or we should die or we should stop posting or we're not as cool as we think we are, blah, 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 blah. They hate themselves.
Yeah. And they're miserable. That's what I like sat down and my mom was like, I mean, they're just miserable with their life.
Yeah. And if you get to a point where you actually fully believe that, then seeing those comments will honestly just make you be like, damn, I'm so glad I don't feel that way.
It finally took it. Like, once I posted that other video again, like, after my mom made me do it, because she knows how we'll all get in, like, this
mom.
Little funk. Yeah.
Good job,
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, I'll get in this little funk, and I, like, won't ever do it again, you know, when dancing is my passion.
Right.
Like, that's what God gave me the gift to do, and that's what my mom kept telling me. She was like, Amanda, God gave you the gift to dance. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what you're made to do. Do it. And I'm like, no, like, they're going to make fun of me is what I kept saying. They're going to make fun of me. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to post it and I'm going to watch, like, how many people comment. And the people that commented was that one account. And I finally blocked it because it was just like, follow back. And I'm like, you know what? I'm blocking you. Like, I'm over your comment and I'm over your body shame and I'm over it. Yeah. And then to the other little girls that want to comment, you know, I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you mad that you can't two-step?
Right.
Like, are you mad that
you watch me do this and it hurts? You
know what
it
is? It's a jealousy thing. And I will say this. I dealt with this recently. I don't know about y'all. 90% of the time, the hate comments don't do shit to me. I laugh at them.
Normally, they don't mean, but for some reason, that body shaming.
Well, and there's a 10% that sometimes even a man, because men deal with this on the internet too, sometimes it hits you. And it's not nice things to say.
My thing personally is, like, if I post a video of me just, like, you know, chilling, being, speaking, whatever.
Yep.
If I'm just enjoying whatever I do or say to post, you know, then hate comments don't bother me. Like,
that's how it is. If I do my regular singing videos and you're like, oh my God, I would have never posted this. Or hold on, let me get y'all's favorite one. She looks orange.
Yeah. Like,
I got you, baby.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Well, let me tell you this one. I posted a TikTok with Kirsten and Todd the other day. Usually hate comments, I just scroll past, but this one, it was kind of funny. They said, y'all look like the people in high school that nobody wanted to sit with because y'all look like you smell. And I was like, we look like we smell?
That took me out.
What?
I mean, when he called me and read it to me, I laughed my ass.
I was laughing too, and I was like, and they said something about, y'all look musty, hashtag team stink. And I was like,
like, we, my thing is, where do y'all come up with this stuff?
Okay, like, one thing that I thought was an insult, have you ever gotten the she looks like her breath stinks? Have you ever gotten that?
No, all I get is she's orange. That's all I freaking get about my spray tans.
For a while, I was getting like her breath must stink, or her breath has to stink, or something.
Well, let me just say, I've kissed her a few times and it doesn't.
Well, but finally one day I was like, what the fuck? I commented back to somebody. I was like, what is this? Why is everyone saying that?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm asking for information purposes. Like, do I have a weird color of tongue or something? Yeah. Can you tell me why I look like my breast stinks? It means that, like, they can't find anything wrong. So it's like a funny.
They can't find anything to say about you. Yeah. So they're just going to come up with something dumb.
That
do you remember in high school when the people like try to like argue in class to get like attention? They'd be like, man, you're a motherfucker, breast types. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. That's what it is though. But it was like a running joke, like trending comment, kind of like the Giot thing or whatever was a trending comment for a while. It was a trending comment. Her breath must stink. And I thought people actually thought I looked like
she
my
said,
breath.
She said, hold up. Can you smell my breath?
Yo, she's in the
video?
Mirror. So.
That's when I got addicted.
She was like, can they smell it through
That's
my
when
phone?
I got addicted to dentine ice. Ask anybody who knows me personally. If I'm at the gas station, I'm looking for that black pack of dentine. That's my shit. Cracking. That's the only gum I want. And I'm addicted to it. Chewing gum 24/7. Because I got
But that just proves that one comment or those several comments made you.
It gets you.
It gets you, yeah. And like, that's how it was. Like I said, I always get like, she's orange, she's this. Like, I will say, I got addicted to spray tans.
Uh huh.
Got addicted.
We all went there.
I mean, when I moved out to Texas, I didn't know like where. I didn't know where to go tan. Like, I tan.
If you were going to Suntan City, stop.
Yep, I go to Suntan City.
Stop.
Yes.
Do you enjoy it there?
What do you mean? Like, are they spray tans? Well, I will say, like, when I was home, I got them there. But, like, when I moved to Texas, I used the Loving Tan, you know, from Ulta. Loving Tan.
I use Tanned AF.
See, that's, yeah, I've used that before. It's green on me.
Well, see, okay, so me personally, I enjoy the green, but that's because I used to work at a salon and we did organic spray tans and our shit was green. So now if it's not green,
you don't like
it.
Okay, so I don't like green. So
you can't win because you're either green or orange.
Yeah, I know, right? I just can't. So, but when I lived here in Tennessee before I moved to Texas, I used to get spray tans like every week. Mm-hmm. Like I got spoiled. Mm-hmm. Spoiled by them.
Yeah.
But now, like the year before, like before that, oh, I laid in the tanning bed, you know, every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Dark, 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 dark. Mm-hmm. Moved to Texas. I didn't really know where to go tan. I mm-hmm. didn't really want to open up another tanning membership because I still had mine here in Tennessee.
Right.
So I got addicted to spray tanning.
And once you're used
to
being dark like that, you can't go back.
You cannot. Like, you cannot. My 2024 resolution is that I'm not doing any spray tans this year. And I've been laying in a tanning bed.
Really?
Since January, have not missed a day.
And they're still telling you that you look
they're like, you look orange. And I'm like,
well, you know what? If
I'm like, you know what, baby? If I do, thank you because this is natural.
This is a natural orange.
Natural.
Thank you.
I got the Playboy Bunny sticker on me. And
yes,
not
ma'am.
The Playboy Bunny.
I got perfect. The Playboy
Back
Bunny.
Back in 2008. Let's go.
Okay, period. Hey, my parents used to own a tanning salon like way back in the day.
Was it a Blockbuster too?
Okay, no, listen to the name of this, okay? So my dad's real name is James, but he goes by Bubba.
Okay.
Okay. So this tanning salon was called Bubba's Tarzan Tan.
That is so 1994.
And the building, yeah. Like, it's tore down now, but, like, the building was, like, the white bricks with the big windows, and it was, like, Bubba's Tarzan Tan, okay? When I tell you growing up in my little small hometown, I thought I was the stuff because my daddy owned a tanning salon. Like, and driving by the buildings all the time in my little bitty town, like, I was like, yeah, my dad's old tanning salon over there, so... When I grew up, like, laying in the tanning beds, my mom always used to tell me about the stickers. Like, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, like, seeing the girls around, like, with the little heart shapes and stuff on there, you know. I want to be different. Mm-hmm. Everybody got the heart. I don't want no heart. I want the Playboy Bunny.
Boy, my first Playboy Bunny, I was 14 years old. My neighbor across the road had a tanning bed and a building in her backyard. Yep. You couldn't tell me nothing.
That's how I am. So, I'm like, I'm bringing it back. Like,
yeah.
This generation is so, like... different. I'm bringing it all
well
back.
Let me just say it should be brought back.
It should be like the hearts are bunnies. Like the hearts are still going around, but like that's just natural.
Bring back the Playboy Bunny.
Bring back the Playboy Bunny. Y'all can get it on Amazon for $6. Just to let y'all know.
There was nothing like seeing them.
Look, I got the whole roll. Like
them,
it's like,
jeans down here with their little Playboy Bunny because you know they went tan and you're just like.
I have so many TikToks like when I was at the beach with them low cut Daisy Duke shorts and my little Playboy Bunny sticking just out because I wore it when I got a spray tan. So
she's had the Playboy. She's been waiting. She's honestly been waiting for this opportunity to and I brought back the Playboy Bunny.
When the Funny Playboy thing, Bunny the trend it, comes.
She's the one that created the Playboy Bunny.
Yes. No, my dad did. My Bubba's Tarzan Tan.
Bubba's Tarzan Tan is where Playboy
Bunny. Baby, we bringing it back.
Yes, ma'am.
Amanda is bringing
it
back.
And after she's this, a trendsetter.
After I'm a this, trendsetter. It's going to be brought back.
Yeah.
Brought back,
yeah. That little part right there.
I was saying the other day, I'm going to bring back the 90s Nepo baby. I was under
Okay, do you know what Nepo
of.
Means? Because I didn't.
I really don't think I do.
Do you know what a Nepo? I love her because you know what she did? If
I didn't say anything. I just
She did. She went along with it. Yep.
You said, do you know what Nepo is? You said, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to agree with you. Like, yes.
The 90s were quite arguably the best time in fashion, right? The 2000s is when you had, like,
The 2000s is when, like, Justice and you really wanted to wear the pink. Victoria's Secret was coming out.
Like, and we were all wearing, the Uggs, Air Postal t-shirts.
And the Uggs and the black leggings.
The original Uggs.
Yeah, the original.
The bottoms of them were like that thin.
Yep. Or you had the Uggs with the bows on. If you had the Uggs with the bows on the back, you know, I hate to say this, but your parents have money because you got the bows on the back of the boots.
Yeah, because my mama won't buy them. But and if your Ugg boots had sequins, dude, nobody had sequins.
That was a thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Dude, okay.
You want to know how bad I thought I was the thought I was the crap because my mother bought me a pink sweatshirt and it said pink all the way down the side.
Yeah.
Nobody had it, okay? I used to wear that sweatshirt every single basketball game in my hometown mm-hmm. with my black leggings and my Ugg boots with the bows up the back.
Mm-hmm. And she was the shit. You want to know why? Mm-hmm.
I walked in there like I was the shit.
Okay, I can right to this very moment think of this outfit. It was black leggings, a burgundy crew neck, long sleeve, pink sweater, crew neck, yeah, like hoodie.
Yeah.
And it just said pink real big in the big white letters. But it had it said like pink by Victoria's Secret, the little thin line all the way down the arm. You know what I'm talking about? Where you could
barely see
the little
black and white line. Yeah.
And it was just pink by Victoria's Secret down the arm.
Yep.
And I had on my Ugg boots too, but mine didn't have buzz because I grew up Poe. We didn't have buzz on our Ugg boots.
But you still rocked it, Macy.
I look good.
Yeah, I never.
And my hair was side parted from all the way over here. Just
oh my gosh,
the side part was side parting. Yes,
or the half up clip, heavy blush. If you had on mascara, the bump it. Not the bump it. My mama made me wear the bump it.
Baby, I had the bump it.
You did the bump it.
I was a bump it.
I thought that was just a commercial. You actually did that.
No, my mama actually probably bought the bump it. Off the commercial.
My mama got that thing off the TV. Okay?
Yeah, my mama got that off the TV, and
it came in a six pack.
Squeeze it in there and like tease that hoe up there.
You had to separate your. You had to do the horseshoe.
Yep.
And then you flip that hair up, and then you teased, and you stuck your bump it right here.
Whoa.
And it wasn't all the way resting on your head. It had to kind of be facing up just a little bit where it had a little space right there. And in that space, you'd tease up, fill it in. You lay your hair back down. You take that teasing comb, and you go real easy over the top of it.
You look like Dolly
and
you
push
in
down
section.
A little bit so it would hold on.
Not
to that,
Dolly Parton. You look like Snooki. Let's be for real.
No, it was big.
It was
like
classy.
Dolly. It was classy, but it was Dolly. Big Dolly hair. Probably invented that because it was like tease to Jesus. You had the bump it.
It was huge.
Like.
Your hair was huge.
Oh, gosh. Like,
and I had the swoop bangs, and I had red and blue, like, color in the back of my hair. So I had the swoop bangs and then the big bump.
Me and my cousins, I've seen pictures of that.
See, me and my cousins thought we were something one day. Hannah Montana was really big in this time right here. Oh, yeah. And we got the Hannah Montana hair color kit.
Oh, like the hair mascara stuff?
No, like the hair chalk, you know, but it was Hannah Montana style. Yeah. So as I have black hair now. Went through a really bad breakup, so I dyed my hair black. And I'm a natural blonde.
Are you really?
Yes. Y'all want to see a picture? I'm a natural blonde.
Yeah, because I would have never guessed.
I would have never guessed. You're a natural blonde.
So I'm a natural bleach blonde.
Nuh-uh.
Cotton top. That's how I'll say it. That's how blonde I was. And I have to go to Facebook.
It hard keeping up with your roots?
You see them growing out?
No, I don't see them growing out.
You sure?
I'm positive 100%.
They real there. Huh. If you get real close, they're there. And they're blonde, too. If you look real close, they're blonde.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm a natural blonde, whatever. Went over to my cousin's house. And we got in the bathroom. I had pink. I had purple. I had blue hair. Oh, when I came home, I thought I was the stuff showing my mama. She yanked me up by the head of my hair. Took me in that bathroom, and when I tell you it wouldn't come out of my bleach blonde hair, and I had
and
a pageant like that. Oh, she knew that it wouldn't come out
she
of my
knew
hair.
That. That's why she freaked
because
out.
Because my hair was so coarse, because we had well water.
We did too.
We have well water, yeah. So my hair was so coarse, and I guess it just took it. Oh, honey, I've never heard the end of it after that.
Yeah, I got in big trouble. My brother's a natural blonde, and he was probably 4, and I just raked hot pink hair mascara through his head, through his blonde head. I got in so much trouble.
I did. I will never forget that. Let me just say this saying, and you can agree to this. This is a guy's word right here. You know, back in about 2 years ago, all the guys were like, you just want to date a blonde, you want to marry a brunette. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Am I right? That's what y'all said. Okay. So I swore by that. I was like, you know what? Whatever, Mom. I'm going to dye my hair dark. Like, you know, it's marrying season.
You're like, I want to find me a man that's going to marry
it's marrying
me.
Season.
I don't want to be dated.
So I swear to you, the next, like, day I'm going through Snapchat stories and this guy posts, he was like, date a brunette, marry a blonde. I about threw my phone out the window.
You were
window.
Like, you know what? Can't fucking win.
I about threw, but y'all did
you
say that.
You can't win, Kenny. You can't win.
I can't win for losing over here.
None of us can. We're winning.
I mean, every day I wake up, I'm like, what I do today? That's what I
like. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, did I have to?
Yeah. God, this is really have to be going on.
Do I have to?
But But y'all did. That's what guys always posted. They always like the blondes are for fun, mm-hmm. and you marry a brunette. So I did that, and then that boy posted that, and he like broke my feelings, and then I was like.
So have you dated since then?
Yes.
But like, yeah, the way you said it just didn't give me.
Yeah, I mean, if I can be honest, like when after like my 2-3 breakups. I just realized that I was better off on my own. Mm-hmm. Like, I was better off. I had so much going for me that I knew I wanted to start my own business. I wanted to travel because I was, you know, just now getting into influencing and having all these brand deals where they would want me, you know, to go to concerts or go hang out at this brand in LA or stuff like that, to where it was like I didn't have time for a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I always used to look back, like, in dating that – I hated when he didn't have time for me, mm-hmm. or, you know, when guys can make time, but like when they choose not to, yeah. that it was like, I hated that. And like, if I'm going to be with somebody, like I'm going to give you like my all.
You're one of those dating to marry people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't meant for this world. We weren't. I have done figured yeah. that and out.
Out. Done figured it out. Yeah. Like all my relationships have been 2.5 years to 3 years.
Yeah.
And then damn. There was one that, like, I could talk about him, but.
Was it recent?
No, it was, like, 2 years ago, like, after my long one, like, after mm-hmm. my 3-year one.
Oh, it was a rebound.
Yeah. I think I was just, like, looking. Like, I was just looking. I was being, you know, the girl thing, and I was looking and met him. And plus, like, back then, you know, all of us friends, like, we all hung out at Sonic. We all went to this one hometown bar.
Was he a truck boy?
It was Walmart for us, but.
Was it Walmart? Yeah.
That's why. That's where I was going with that. Like, were y'all truck meeting at Sonic? Because we were truck meeting at Walmart.
I can say I truck meeted. Yeah. I went to truck meet.
Oh, I was right up in. Dude, you know what?
I thought I was something when I was at all these truck meets. Yeah. Now looking back, I'm like, girl, why did I do that?
I was about to ask you, do you ever think back on your behavior?
My mama was like, girl, that does not look good on you. And I'm like, mom, it's fine.
It's fine. Everybody's doing it.
Yep, exactly what I said.
Look, I think back to me, like, running up on truck meets, and I'm so cringed at myself because I used to get off of work. I worked at this like burger shakes place.
Literally, what I just
place.
Told my friend, I said I would get off of my job.
Yeah, I would leave
at
work.
9 o'clock at night.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And I would leave because look, I worked here and Sonic was here, and it was like my little Apple Maps on CarPlay knew where I was going. Sonic Drive-In.
This is how you know we live in assimilation, because small town life is literally the same. So oh, really? I worked here at Highway 55. Walmart was here. And I would just scoot on out and I'd mix up a milkshake for one of the boys that I was interested in.
Yeah.
And I would get there and I'd get out. And at Highway 55, you had to wear short shorts, short little black shorts, pink t-shirt, and a bow in your hair. And so I'd have like a high pony or high bun and this big old hair bow.
So I
looking
was,
like a flat out cheerleader.
So where I worked was, I was a dance teacher.
Uh-huh.
I had my own little dance studio, taught dance, you know, there, had like 80 something children. So we were there till like 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, I'm in my athletic shorts too, mm-hmm. you know, heading over there. But it was like, it was an every single night thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you were not out there, like every single night hanging out, like you wasn't
cool.
in the group.
Yeah,
you wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know. But I tried so hard to fit in at first. Mm-hmm. Like, at first, I only knew one friend, and she has been my friend, like, since freaking elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And so her boyfriend at the time was, like, out there, you know, because he had this big truck and everything. So, like, we're hanging out with each other. And I'm, like, in the back seat. I'm like, heck yeah. Like, this is awesome, you know. And I'm meeting all of his friends. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting all these other girls. But, like, in realization, nobody liked me out there. Like,
same.
I'm being serious. Nobody liked me.
It's
like,
so real, though.
Nobody liked me. Everybody knew me as the TikTok girl, is yeah. what I get told, like, in my hometown. Like, oh, there's the TikToker, uh-huh. you know? And so I wanted everybody to like me. Like, it's so bad that I, like, I want people to like me because I'm a likable person. Like, I'll talk to anybody.
Well, I don't think, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like, oh, she wants everybody to like her so bad. It's more like you're one of those people that likes to be connected to people.
Yes. And I like to just be there. Like, yeah. I like to know that, be like, hey, like, how are you, you know, or whatever. And then, like, when I used to pull up in my lifted truck, because I had a lifted truck, like, you know, I live on a farm. So, like, well, let's see, let's go back. At first, when I turned 16, my parents were like, all right, if you want, like, a really fancy car, then you're going to have to, like, you know, pay for it yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you want, like, you know, a Nissan Altima, Volkswagen, you know, stuff like that, my parents would have got it for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wanted a Range Rover.
Okay.
Okay. So I went and got me one.
At 16?
At 16, went and got me a Range Rover. Range Rover Evoque.
How?
My grandparents, like, so I graduated when I was, like, 17. Uh-huh. So my grandparents gave me graduation money. So oh, I went and put it down on this car, right?
Bro, that's such a 16-year-old thing to do.
I was like, heck yeah.
Like, I'm
buying
a Range Rover.
Yeah, I'm buying a Range Rover. Because I drove by, you know, like in your hometown, you got the Chevy on one side and Ford on the other. And, you know, so going to Sonic, you pass Chevy every day. And I saw this little white little Range Rover. And I was like,
I want that little bitch.
I want it.
Yeah.
So we went, we got it, you know, whatever. My mom and them were like, all right, you're going to have to pay your, you know, car payment. Like, we're not paying it for you. Went and got four jobs. Paid for that car payment. Okay. Damn. But anyway, so I was like, frick these fancy vehicles. Well, I'm outside, I'm like looking. And I'm like, hmm. And then I like see this lifted truck go by and I'm like, hmm. And I look at my dad. He's like, go ahead and get you a truck. Just go ahead and get it. Because I've learned how to drive. I learned how to drive in a tractor. Mm-hmm. And then I learned how to drive my dad's Excursion. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like, I've always grew up driving a truck. Mm-hmm. Then my brother had, like, you know, the cat eyes that was lifted with, like, freaking 22s, you know, everything. So I was like, trucks have always been in our family. Mm-hmm. So I, like, go down the back row, you know, whatever, and I see this gray lifted Chevy. Already has 22s on it. Lifted.
Oh, it's already ready to go.
Oh, it's ready to go.
Young woman's dream.
Freaking rough country sticker on that front windshield. I thought I was something, let me tell you. Got it. Uh-huh. Oh, honey, you couldn't keep me at them truck meets. I thought I was something with my...
You were like, hey,
I did. I was like, I thought I was the stuff because I was the only girl that had a lifted truck at the time.
Right.
So, you know, all these guys were like, oh, my gosh, like, this girl, like, you know, has a lifted truck. Well, they were like, oh, daddy's money. Daddy's this. Daddy's that. And I'm like, baby, I pay for it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is coming out of my bank account each month, you know? Anyway, I would pull up to these truck meets thinking I'm something. No, I had no idea what
I was about to say, they started talking customs. You were like,
I had no idea what KG1s were. You know what I was rocking over here on my truck that I thought was the shit? Moto Metals.
I love how we're both supposed to be like, oh my God.
We're both shaking our heads, but we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but that's how I was. I don't know what that is. They were sent, like, cheap rims.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, everybody's over here, like, wanting, you know, KG1s, KG4s, like all of these. And I'm over here rocking
my rims. So you pulled up thinking you're hot shit and they're like, oh, your rims.
That's exactly what the guys would do. They'd be like, oh, well, they called them homo metals. And when they watch this podcast, they'll know who I'm talking about. Kept calling me homo metals. And so, homo metals. And I thought I was a stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, whole time. And then I got on Amazon, ordered me like the little bow tie, like the Chevy emblem, but it was a sticker so it could be red so it could match my red rough country.
Oh, you know what
I mean, like, I was trying. This is the thing. I put rock lights on my truck. Like, I thought I was the shit. But them homo metals was not giving.
They were not giving.
They were not giving.
So I grew up like poor, me and my mom, which it's ironic because my daddy has never been not well off ever. Yeah. But my mom, just prideful and, you know, was like doing it on her own. So we grew up poor and I had gotten a Mazda 3. Like, my first car was like a little like salvage title car that my parents bought.
Yeah.
And I dated a truck boy at the time. And so, you know, I'd get off work and I'd drive to these truck meets in the Walmart parking lot. And I'd pull up in the middle of everybody, you know, and I'm like, anybody got a cigarette? You know, like, I'm just absolute trash, you know, and park my little Mazda 3 in the middle of all the trucks and shit. And my boyfriend tinted windows. And so I was like learning from him, like the shaping tint and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I'd be in the Walmart parking lot, me and my friend, we had gone and bought like the Cricut vinyl, like the rolls of vinyl.
Yes.
And we were just asking people, we're like, hey, I've got all different colors and patterns. Let me do your bow tie or whatever. And we're in there like, dude, cheetah print bow ties. We've got our little razor pins and we're shaping it out. We got the heat gun on it.
Yep.
Just in the Walmart parking lot customizing people's rims and shit.
Bro, that's but grill. The thing is though, like,
so you've been cool forever.
Yeah.
In like, the cringe way.
The thing is, like, when you look back though, like when I look back like 2 years ago, I'm like, these kids like now, like growing up, like they don't know nothing about that. Like, when my brother was growing up, like, he hung out at the Fred's mm-hmm. or Walmart, like, mm-hmm. you know, or, like, the baseball fields. Like, everybody did that. Like, now everybody just sits at home and they're on TikTok. Like, yeah. they sit there 100%. And scroll. Like,
dude, you know? We used to, like, stand in a circle at the, like, public park and I'll just pass a blunt around, you know?
I never did that. I did
those kinds of things.
She said, I did that. See, I never did that. I just showed up, like, when everybody was meeting and parked my truck beside them because I thought I was the shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I would hop in the, like, vehicle with my best friend that, you know, was dating that guy at the time and, like, went everywhere. And then I was called that TikToker. Well, then I started becoming friends with people that put on truck meets mm-hmm. and, like, held truck meets. So I always kept it on the down low that, like, I was going. And then I became friends with that guy. And I went to truck meets everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody back home was like, oh, my God, like, how do you know him? Like, I want to be a part of his truck group. And I'm like, sorry, baby, you don't like my homo medal, so I ain't helping you.
Yep.
You can't be my friend.
You can't be my friend. But, yeah, I did all that. And I miss those days. Like, I miss Sonic, you know, like, driving by and just seeing everybody sitting out there. Like, dude, those are the good old days. Shit. Like, we never did nothing. We just popped our tailgates down, like, mm-hmm. and we all just hung out. And then, you know, you always had that one group that, like, nobody liked.
Yeah.
I think I was always that one, but, you know.
Everybody, she's like, yeah, the group was me.
And the after parties, after the trucks meets were pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting in a building, fucking shotgunning beers with the boys. That was,
you know, fun. I have such one-off memories. So, Myrtle Beach was,
Oh, yeah, that was a truck meet out
what
there.
What was there? Yeah, there was
it called? Myrtle Beach Truck Invasion or something like that? No.
God bless.
Everybody used to go to Myrtle Beach. I never went out there.
Everybody went.
Yeah, I never still went love out there.
Dude, Myrtle Beach.
Once again, like I said, I think back to a lot of the shit I did, and I'm like, ooh, cringe. But also, me being the, like, shameless, like, I'm going to get attention however I want to, that made me who I am today. Except now I know how to mold it into not such cringy behaviors.
Yeah.
But we went to, I wish I could remember what the one in Myrtle Beach was called, but we went, and we just would walk down the strip, and, like, no bullshit. So many girls were a part of this, like, idea and game that would have, could have got us all killed. We, these boys, the all they did during Myrtle. Oh, it was just Myrtle Beach Truck Week.
Myrtle Beach Truck Week.
That's all it was called.
I was like, I couldn't. Okay. It was truck something.
So Myrtle Beach Truck Week. They would just every single day. It was just lines of these lifted trucks driving down the strip, and they were parading the whole time.
The whole time, throwing beads out too.
So they're just going around, throwing underwear and beads and beer and whatever. But so all week, damn, they're just driving in circles in Myrtle Beach, right? And it's all these lifted up nice-ass trucks. And you got dudes throwing stuff and hollering, okay? Yeah. Well, somehow, like, they're this unspoken thing became, and it was a terribly dangerous activity. And it was a guy rolls his window down and hollers at a girl, and she gets in his truck. I mean, that's the gist of it. And I did that a lot. Like,
it girls in your
and
truck.
And I think back to that, and I'm like, OMG. As a matter of fact, the dude who I dated that had the five girlfriends, remember him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, period.
We hopped in
Cool dude.
Yeah, you love him. That's your favorite person. We hopped in his truck one time. And at this point, I think I was probably 18.
Yeah.
We hopped in his truck.
That's how old I was. I was like,
a baby.
We think it's cool, though. We think, like,
we thought it was so
cool.
We're
18. Like, we can do whatever. Like, nobody can tell us nothing when in reality, like, bro, you can go to jail. Like, my mom would sit there and watch my Snapchat stories. And that was before I even knew, like, what I don't use Snapchat a lot, but, like, I didn't even know, like, what a private story was. Like, all these people had these private stories.
You were like, I'm just putting it all out there.
So I put it all out there.
Yeah.
I'd be hanging out, like, the windows of these guys' truck. Dude, and now, no, I never just got in a random guy's truck. Like, never got in a random guy's truck. It was always either, like, one of my guy friends.
Yeah.
Or it was my truck and I was driving. But my friends would hang out the vehicle, like.
No, I was living La Vida Loca. We ended up in this one guy's truck. We had, like, kind of met him through Snapchat, I want to say, or Instagram or something. Ended up being a super cool dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, was a friend of his for a very long time. But he wound me up in a situation where my friend went off with another dude. I've hopped in this dude's truck. Once again, I'm 18. Okay? Yeah. I've hopped in this dude's truck. He's like, we're about to pull over to Taco Bell. I'm like, cool. hot dogs, not hot dogs, tacos.
Yeah. What the That street meat got you.
I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, we were talking about the Broadway hot dogs.
I'm like, cool. We're going to go eat at Taco Bell, you know? Next thing I know, I'm in a pickle jar rotation. Does anyone want to guess what a pickle jar rotation is?
I really don't know what a pickle jar rotation is. What do you think?
Never heard of it. You like, you pass around pickles?
No. You pass around a pickle jar. So, it's not... It's not
like moonshine?
No. Oh. It is a jar to collect money. For everybody who pays for a blunt gets put in the rotation. So, you fill up a party, a house, a car, or whatever.
Yeah.
This dude puts me in this Yukon that is chock full of guys, and I did not realize that it was chock full of guys until I got into the back seat and look around, and I'm like, oh no, I don't know anyone. I don't know a single person in this vehicle. I was so scared. And then next thing I know, they're passing around a pickle jar, and they're, you know, everybody's putting their money in and pulling their thing out. And so there was like six blunts in a rotation, and at this point, now, let's keep in mind here.
I'm just in the Yukon. They're all pulling their things out.
That's what I was thinking, but me and Matt were. I was like, okay, sister. All righty.
All right. That sounds fun. Sounds for you.
Great.
Blunt.
For the, yeah, for
they're
them.
All pulling out their blunt.
At first, when you said rotation, I'm like, Reed, you answer this question, please.
Okay. So, a rotation's like a pass around.
Yeah.
So... yeah, there's like six blunts in a rotation. Now, I was not a stoner kid. Yeah. I was like, I mean, I was a kid who did shit I should not have done. So there were plenty of times where I got high or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I had never bought my own weed. I had never done my own anything. Like, I had never done things other than smoked if somebody else was smoking, you know. And all of a sudden... I'm being treated like I belong in a six blunt rotation. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like when you were like really
forced, like you, yeah. Like if you didn't, you probably would have been like in trouble.
If you're like, no, thank you. They're like, whoa, wait.
Wait. Yeah.
Why are you in this vehicle? You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be the narc.
Yeah.
I'm not a cop, guys.
The narc.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I'm just like, fuck. So I mean, it just happens, you know, I just hit every blunt that comes to me and I'm trying to like breathe in and not actually breathe in and then just like push it out of my mouth without breathing it in. And I mean, we get to a point where I'm like, I can't see, I can't talk, I can't hold my head up. Like, I'm done. So
that was their plan, huh?
And I was scared. Yeah. I mean, I was scared.
Yeah, I would have been scared.
I was like, some shit's going to go down. So I just look at the guy because, you know, friend's phone is showing up locations on the beach like randomly. She's probably doing some freaky shit on the beach in the middle of the night. Yeah. You know, who knows? I'm alone, and I don't know this guy that I'm with, but he's my only bet. So I'm finally like, can we go? Like, can you take me back to my hotel? He's like, yeah. So he comes up to the hotel with me, comes up to the room with me, comes in, and when I say my heart is racing.
My heart would have been racing, too.
I'm scared halfway to Georgia, okay? And I lay down in the, like, we had double beds, and it was just me and my friend staying there. He was not supposed to be staying with us. I lay down, and he's chatting me, and I just wrapped my arms and my legs around a cheetah print body pillow and held onto it like a sloth and closed my eyes.
And went to sleep.
And went to sleep. And I woke up and dude was in, I still to this day have the video in my phone. Dude was in my friend's bed. They were both naked, asleep, like all up on each other. She had come home from hooking up with one dude, saw this random man in the bed. I somehow struck that shit up with him and slept with him. And I just got up the next morning and took a video. I was like, I know not. I know I didn't bring this man home.
That girl literally said, oh, you're next.
She said, my turn.
She said, I did all them blunts for nothing.
Yeah.
Damn, that dude got lucky without thinking he was getting lucky.
But that
he saw you pass out. He was like, oh, I guess I'll go to sleep. She walked in. He was like, yeah.
He was like, yeah. Good. That's probably exactly what happened. Well, which, like I said, I mean, he was a great guy. I think he ended up having to unfriend me on, like, Instagram or something when he got into a serious relationship. But that makes sense because like some girls sometimes. Are just, yeah, some girls like just do that. Sometimes. Me, personally, you couldn't pay me to think that telling you to block someone would make you not cheat on me. But, you know,
Well, if you have to get to that point to, like, tell somebody to block them, then why are you with them?
If you're like, hey, unfollow every girl you follow on social media, bro, you need to go to therapy.
You know me. Would I ever?
Hell no. Nah.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, if you have to go that far to be like, you need to block her, then, like, obviously, like,
You have a problem.
You have a trust issue, which, you know, we all have trust issues. Like, you know, I have trust issues too, but like.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
But like, if I have to be like, you need to block her. And then because my like second relationship I ever was in, I had this problem where it was like me and him were fine for like the whole year. You know, after you get through a year, you know, you kind of get out of the lovey spill and it's like actual relationship time is how I call it. And then it got to the point where it was like, he blocked the girls because he was in that one town where it was like all girls were his friends or he was always with their with them or on their side, you know. And so it got to the point where I was like, you know, like, I don't trust her. So, like, you know, whatever. But what you decide is on you. So he decided, you know, to block them. Well, it was like when I would come home, then he would unblock them and add them back.
I love that about him.
And so it went on for a whole nother year just like that. Well, then it got to the point where it was like we had set days to see each other. And it was like, okay, well, I can see you on Wednesday or I can see you on Saturday when he worked like at the water department and like was off. You know what I'm saying? Like got off at like 3:30.
Yeah, big line.
Got off at like 5 or something. So I'm like, okay, like what are you doing in like this time? But like I didn't live in that town. So it's like I couldn't go and like see, you know, or whatever. And plus I had 4 jobs at this time. Like I was working 40 hours a week, like as a 17-year-old, like busting my ass. And finally, just one of these days, I texted my mom and I'm like, I think it was like a week we haven't seen each other. And I'm like, this is kind of weird, you know, whatever. But I kind of just let it go because I'm like, you know, whatever, I'm busy too, you know. Well, finally, I was off this one day and I call my brother's best girlfriend and I'm like, we need to go to this town. And she's like, I'm down. I'll be at your house in 30 minutes. So, like, we get we get all dolled up. Like, because, you know, like, if I'm going to come to your town and I catch you doing something, I'm showing out.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna be the girl you miss. Like, yeah, you mess this up. Like,
and you're gonna think about this for the rest of your life. I'm gonna make sure of it.
If I didn't tell you, like, we pull into like the town, and like at this time, everybody hung out at the mall, like in this town, and we pull in, and I see that girl's car and his truck, and I'm like, that's all I needed to know. So we go to the Mexican restaurant and get some margaritas.
You didn't even confront him.
They wasn't there. They were in his buddy's truck. So then it looked suspicious. But he told me him and his buddy was riding around.
That's tough. That's big tough.
So we go to the Mexican restaurant. We go eat and we go get margaritas. Because, baby, if you, I got you.
If you doing you.
I'll do me.
I'm doing me, boo-boo.
Yeah. So we wait. And so we were in my best friend's car. Because everybody knew who my truck was. Like, it's not, it couldn't just be drove to the town. It's a small town again. Anybody see it at a red light, they're going to send it to him, you know, that, oh, what's Amanda Simmons doing here, you know? So we were in her car. So we go and sit at the mall. Well, I see his best friend's truck coming by, and I'm like, great opportunity. So I'll, like, text him, and I'm like.
And she's had margaritas. She's ready to go.
Oh,
she's
ready. I'm fueled.
She's like, on a rampage.
I'm on a rampage. So I text him. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, nothing, about to get in my truck. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, so what did y'all do? Oh, we just went and rode back roads, whatever. So the guy friend, like, had a girl with him, too. So, like, really wasn't his fault, but at the same time, like, this guy could have been like, aren't you with Amanda?
Yeah.
Well, this whole time, he was telling everybody in his town that we were broken up.
God, why? Gotta do it.
Yes. And so I walk up to him and I'm like, really? And he's like,
yeah, of course he was.
You know, like, has no emotion, just like staring at me, you know, whatever. So we ended at that. He is like 2-3 months later, he's like texting my phone, like, you know, whatever. I've changed as they this, did. You know, and I'm like,
yeah,
no. Like,
yes, they did. Yeah.
Just know. And I'm like, because if you had the time to, like, tell, because, like, I found out more stuff, like, as, you know, time goes on. Like, once you leave somebody, you find out more stuff than, like, what's actually going on. And I'm like, as it went on, I'm like, you took the time to tell people that we were broken up.
So that you could work on your elaborate plan.
And hang out with this girl and this girl. And, like, my best friend, like, diehard best friend till this day, was one of his hookups when we were not together.
Oh.
Like, this girl is my diehard best friend. If anything happens, Madison, I love you. But, like, she was one of his hookups.
That hurts. That hurted.
And like me and her would always try and get close, but he was like using us against each other. And he always used to tell me like, oh, well, she's just obsessive of me and like she wants to be with me, but like he wanted to be with her, but like would shit talk me to her. And so finally I'm like, girl, look, there, here's my phone. This is what he be saying. Mm-hmm. And then like now we're best friends for life.
I did that not too long ago. We didn't end up friends. As a matter of fact, I looked the other day just simply to see if I was still blocked, and I am. And it kind of made me laugh a little. I pulled it up and I saw that I was blocked and I was like, damn.
Damn, still blocked.
Still there. All right, cool. But no, I got, this was like totally by accident, but I got a phone call and it was like, hey, have you been talking to this guy? And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
And it ended up being that guy's wife.
Oh my God.
And I mean, she literally was like, look, like I'm gonna be real with you. I'm not calling you because I'm trying to bitch at you. I'm calling you because I need to know.
Yeah.
She's like, I think he's been deleting messages. I was like, stay on the phone. I put it on speaker, hit screen share.
Yeah, and showed her.
And I was scrolling.
That's literally how
she was like, thank you so much. I was like, girl, I mean, we're cool.
I love the girls that find out and then they hit up the other girl and they're nice about it. Yeah. The ones that are rude are like,
because they want to blame it on you.
Yeah,
I made this TikTok. I made this TikTok around Valentine's Day. I got a lot of hate for it because I was like, POV, you work at a bar. And, you know, February 14th come around, like, don't make me tell you what your boyfriend be doing on the weekends when mm-hmm. you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and girls are commenting, like, well, shouldn't you tell him in the first place? No, baby, because if I don't know you, I'm not finna tell you.
Because you're not going to believe me.
You're not going to believe me for one, but second, you're going to blame it on me.
You're going to get mad at me.
But that's now, if true. You're my close, close friend.
Then, yeah.
Of course I'm going to tell you. But right. if you're this random girl that I've seen, like, two or three times with this guy at the bar and he's my regular.
Yeah.
Then... why would I be like,
well, hey, you don't owe them anything. And if somebody's bartender for years, that's not our business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my business. But I made the TikTok because I knew like girls would be like, you know, comment on it, you know, or whatever.
But it is true.
But it's true. Like, I would not go to a girl because she either could take it like perfectly mm-hmm. and be like, thank you so much. Or she can take it and be like, okay, well, thank you. And then start running her mouth about you saying that I ruined the relationship.
Right, yeah.
You know, and we've all been there. Like, mm-hmm. I've done that before, too. Like, the girl been that's there. My best friend for my life, like, for life, Madison, done it to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my God, like, please leave me the F alone. Like, leave our relationship alone. Like, you're
the problem.
Like, you're the problem.
Just
and
stay
now,
away from him,
and
please.
Like, literally, when me and him broke up,
yeah,
I practically lived at her and her boyfriend's house.
Yeah.
And now her and her man have, you know, two kids together and everything. And I'm like, they literally raised me after me and this boy went through everything. And I yelled at her, hated her, and now we're best friends for life.
It will typically go that way. So one of my very best friends on earth, I don't even know where to go with that. I introduced her to my baby daddy, but I had met her on that same exact night.
Gotcha.
So I met her, liked her. Me and my baby daddy at the time were cool.
Yeah.
My baby daddy, who's also my ex-husband. We were cool. And I literally went to him and was like, hey, she's cool.
Yeah.
Like, hit her up. And then they dated for 8 months. He cheated on her. She called me and she was like, I'm going to be for real with you. My friends are telling me it's you. Like, I know he's cheated and I know that that's what's happened, but I cannot figure out who it is.
Yeah.
So my friends are telling me it's you. And I was like, hold the press. Let's figure out who he's cheating on you with, because it damn sure ain't dissing.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, I feel kind of bad. You're dating him simply because I told you to.
Like, yeah,
I told
him exactly, to hit
you
up.
And now he cheated on you too. I should have known that men don't change.
They
don't. So we ended up figuring it out. And that was over a year ago.
Yeah.
And she and I, like, absolutely inseparable. Like, we joke and say we raise my kids together.
That's how me and my best friend is. Like, me and Madison, like.
Sometimes it takes us a crusty guy to get you.
It does. And it took us, like, a hot minute. And it's like, we went through, like, a whole, I say, year phase. And then it was like that next year you couldn't separate us.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Is that a girl thing? Because dudes don't really do that.
Trauma will bring you closer together.
I will say, like, if it wasn't for her, like, I would not have learned, like, the 18-year-old life or, like, 17-year-old life, like, about to turn 18 without her. Like, I did everything with her.
Yeah.
Like, bonfires, like, riding back roads with her and her friends, like, going places, sitting out at the mall with her. Like, she taught me everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, so crazy to look back. We hated each other.
Yeah.
Because we were messing with the same guy.
That's all it was the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it shows that he has similar tastes, because if you guys get along so well.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he would be a great polygamist.
I don't know what he is now.
Probably a polygamist.
Probably. I don't know what he is now. I have no idea what he is
now. He might be a polygamist.
Yeah, I don't even worry about it. If you're in the past, baby, I throw you in the dumpster and I don't go dumpster diving. So when I first started like TikTok and stuff, I loved Nashville. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, oh, if I'm going to be famous, I want to live in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I want to do this. And I had like a really good friend of mine and there was things like going around where it's like, I loved Broadway Girl song and the song called Nashville Crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how can I like put that together? Mm-hmm. Like how? Like, because I love Broadway. I thought I was the shit on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Because like I wore these crazy outfits, you know, got to stand out. But that's what Broadway's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's what Vegas is about. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. To stand out. Like if you're not in a bachelor party or your birthday here, like you have to go all out to party on Broadway. And that's what I wanted to give girls because that's what I was. Like everything okay. I had was custom. So I was like, Mom, how in the world can I take both of these songs and put them together? And I was like, it can't be Nashville Crazy because that's, you know, like the name of Nashville. And I was like, what about Broadway Crazy?
Yeah.
And I asked my friend and they were like, that sounds amazing. And so I like literally went with it, stuck with it. And so Broadway Crazy is like my brand.
Yeah.
Like it's just who I was. I loved Broadway. And to get okay, girls.
Do you still love Broadway?
Yeah.
Because I do too.
I love Broadway.
Me too.
I love to shut it down.
I've been here a year and people are like, oh. You won't like it after a couple months. I'm like, yeah, I still fucking do.
I love Broadway. I think it's just because, like, if you're not used to it. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you're not used to, like, the party life or, like, you know, wanting to go out to a bar, I could get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Broadway is just, like, Broadway to me is, like, I get to dress up and go.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, every time I knew, like, hey, we're going to go out to Broadway tonight, I'm like, okay, like top-notch outfit, here we go. Like, yeah. I'm coming, and that's how I always was, and that's why I was like, I want to give girls opportunities to shop my boutique and to have a Broadway outfit. Now, we do have, like, I call it Nash Vegas, because Broadway is literally the Vegas Strip.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
100%.
And I want girls to have outfits to wear, like, when they go to the NFR, they mm-hmm. can style stuff differently because I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your average rodeo girl. I'm not your average Western girl because I want to stand out because that is just who I am.
Well, yeah, I mean,
like, I'll wear jeans and boots, honey, because that was a trend 1 year where you wear your Kiss Me bootcut jeans and your cowboy boots and your belt buckle and your just Southern style t-shirt from Walmart that said, I'm a mud girl on the back.
And big ass rebel flag. The fact that we had those is nuts.
I'm telling you,
I think about that now.
That's what I grew up wearing. My mom literally had to take me out of that outfit and be like, okay, we're going to go do pageants now. Like, to get me out of that style.
I was round toe Justin boots.
I'm a fourth generation farmer, baby. I grew up driving a tractor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's my Western style. Yeah. And so that's why I wanted to, like, give that opportunity to people, you know. And, like, some people don't understand that. But sometimes you have to help girls step out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't for my mom helping me step out of my comfort zone, I wouldn't be where I am.
100%.
I probably would still be in my rock revivals or something.
And sometimes it's not even your comfort zone that, like, you realize that you love dressing different, that is your comfort zone.
And see, I love that. I love people looking like, it's so bad to say this, but, like, if nobody compliments my outfit when I go out, I have to go change. I'm telling you. Or if somebody has on this is my pet peeve.
If somebody has the same thing on as me, I can't do that.
I have to go change.
I'm out.
So when I started bartending at Slide and Ride Radio, all my little bartenders, the first thing when they started met me, you know, whatever. Well, we got these like little crop t-shirts in that say Slide and Ride Radio. And it's like blue, pink. I mean, not blue. Blue, red, and black, not mm-hmm. pink. If they had pink, it'd be my color. But I started wearing them, you know, like whatever, a bartender back there, right? I started seeing these girls like come in just like a regular, have the same color as me on. When I tell you, I went and changed like 3 times in one night because like I don't like somebody having the same outfit as me on. Like I can't, because then I'm like,
you're like, all right, I'm trying to stand out here.
Yes. So when I first started going to like the rodeo and stuff, like, and I started bartending, I wanted to stand out. I would wear like the fringe outfits behind the bar with the white cowboy boots, the denim shorts with the stars on the butts. Mm-hmm. Like I dressed out. Now, if you see me at Sign My Rodeo, I'm just in my Halara leggings and a crop top because now I'm comfortable. Now I've been I felt like I made my statement, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why I started a boutique, is just because I always like to stand out. And you do feel good when you stand out. Like, you do feel good when a girl comes up to you, say, on Broadway, and they're like, oh, my God, girl, I love your outfit. Like, today I was eating Mexican with my friend Gracie, and this lady literally comes up to our table and was like, honey, your makeup is absolutely gorgeous. And I'm like, that made me feel so good because I absolutely hated what I looked like when I left my house. Like, I was like, I do not like my outfit. So I just
turned it around.
Yes, yeah. I, changed 3-4 different times, and I'm like, that's just what girls need because it's a confident boost in what we have. And so that's why I started my business and my boutique. Like, there's so many girls that there's this one little girl that's here from Tennessee. I really wanted to go and meet her and stuff because she's bought from me since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what new arrivals we have, she orders it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has supported me since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And she has watching her grow and watching her wear her clothes. She has stepped out in so many ways, that I never would have saw her, wear it, stuff like that. And I'm like, that's what I do. This is what I do it for.
Yeah.
And also I do it for mamas buy stuff for their kids that they absolutely love me. They love my story, and I'm like, I do this for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, God gave me this opportunity to have a style and to have a boutique because I wanted to give back to the other girls that don't feel confident in certain outfits.
Yeah.
Like, girl, put that rhinestone jacket on and walk out that door.
Dude. Amen.
Yeah. And
go, girl.
Let me tell you.
My whole aesthetic is bling.
Yeah. I love that.
Bling. That's and awesome. Hot pink and standing out because if I can stand out. Y'all just wait. We go out on Broadway one night, and I'll bring out my crazy outfit. I have this rhinestone blazer jacket, and it has rhinestone, but it's the big, glass rhinestones.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bring that razor jacket out. Don't play with me. Stop. I'll walk up in there and be like, hello.
Hey. Well, so that's what I was saying earlier, the 90s Nepo baby thing. So a Nepo baby is somebody who, they're only rich, successful, famous, whatever, because of who their parents are.
Gotcha.
So Lily Rose Depp, or who was the one we were talking about? Paris Hilton.
Got you, yes.
You get it? So, but imagine those people in the 90s. Paris was crazy, huge wide leg jeans and a teeny tiny little crop top, and her hair was pinned back and she had a little pink beret, and it was hardcore 90s. Throwovers with the feathers.
Oh, yes, and I have so many outfits like that.
Oh, yeah. So 90s is really just,
I really wish the old, bell bottoms have come back a little bit, but
nothing that I wear has come back, I can assure you, but I'm wearing it anyway. Yeah. I have a really, really fuzzy jacket.
Yeah, Justice is closed down, so I don't think Justice is coming back.
I just be putting shit together. My pants came from Dick's. These are Dick Sporting Goods.
Honey, you brand. Can put anything together. Half my outfits could be literally from, a high end brand, say Revolve or stuff like that, and then my top will be from Shein.
No bullshit. I was on stage at Live Oak wearing a Target sweater, Shein leggings.
Yeah.
And $1,000 old gringo boots.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, my shoes could be Golden Gooses and the rest of my outfit could be from Shein.
But all of it's Shein, yeah.
You know?
That's me.
I love Shein.
Well, you can put all kinds of shit together. And I love wearing the weird shit. I came out one night one day I was about to go to the studio and I was wearing a big, huge oversized sweater and these big, wide, flowy striped pants. And Reed was like, what is it with you in those pants? And I was like, I have to wear them.
I love big flowy pants.
Big flowy pants are the best. That's they're my thing right now.
They're just comfortable.
And they're still you can still look cool.
Well, when the Palazzo pants were in style.
Yeah. But thank God Chevron's not going to come back.
Oh my God.
Because Chevron was the worst time of our existence. I thought I was the
stuff wearing Chevron.
I had Chevron everything. I
feel like Reed's over here on Facebook Marketplace not even listening to us.
He's over us. You remember when it was
This is a girls kind of conversation.
Girls.
Talking about sparkling, I'm over here scrolling Facebook.
He's like, yeah, man, I know about it. Okay, get some guys. Because, hey, but actually, I do have a men's line.
You came out with it yet?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It's called the Broadway Dog.
Uh-uh.
y'all want to see it?
We have to see it.
Because okay. I'm a Broadway boy. Let's
okay, it's called The Broadway Dog. So I don't sell it on my website just because it just got hard to sell like men's clothes on a women's site. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like he's not going to go click on BroadwayCrazyBoutique.com.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And go find your shirt. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't going to happen. So one of my best friends in Louisiana has a... he sells like strictly men's shirts and stuff. It's called like Southern Executor. So we teamed up together and started me a men's line. Cause I was oh, okay. like, I really want a men's line. Like I want a t-shirt. Like these women that buy for me will buy like, you know, 100%. Oh, he's having a 10% off sale. So that is the Broadway Dog shirt. But we teamed up together and came up with the Broadway Dog. So like in the back, it has all the bars down on Broadway. And one little bar, there's like a bar sign and it says Broadway Crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So and, like, the dog has the glasses.
100% I would wear that.
Like, he has the glasses. He has the chain and everything. Like, he has the chain and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, definitely a men's style
oh,
shirt.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
yeah, sure. That's awesome. And it's, I like, love neon. And I love the neon style.
It's neon, but, like, on the front, it just says Southern Executor. So, like, we came out with that. So, like, sold it out on my website. Like, mm-hmm. so surprised that I sold it out on my website.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where, like, when he sent me more, I got stuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to where it was, like, all my friends around my town was like, oh, I want one, but didn't want to pay for one. Mm-hmm. So, you know me, I'm going to be nice. That's always,
did you know how many people hit
me give up? Them one. I'm not going to say no because, you know, they've been right. in my life for a long time. So, yeah. I'm like, hey. You know, here's your shirt. Well,
like, and I feel like if you have stuff on hand, like that's cool. But a lot of times you have people who don't really understand how the way that things work. You know, so we have Toxic Talk merch, and then I have my merch.
Yeah,
and so many times people are like, you haven't gave me one of those I Am Trash crew necks yet, and I'm like, yeah, because what y'all don't understand is we drop ship. I have to physically pay for and order and pay for the shipping if you come to me and say, I want an I Am Trash crew neck. And here's the deal. TBH, if you're not willing to go pay $30 for a hoodie that's going to help your friend who you so
and like some of my friends support would have, but like then again, I didn't just give it to like everybody.
Yeah.
I gave it to the friends that like have been there through like my hardest times in my life.
It's and usually that, easy to figure out who you should and shouldn't.
Yeah, so I just kind of, you know, gave it. And of course, like my mom and my dad have one, you know.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah, 100%. My mom has a Team Reed crew neck.
Period. She wore it the other day. Where were we at?
She wore it to the airport.
Oh yeah, airport.
She wore it to the airport. Yeah. My dad will wear anything. Like my dad is the most supportive person in the world. Like I went and did this little pageant, like, cause I want to do like it's like my last kind of age limit to compete this year.
Okay.
And then I age out.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, you know, like I want to go do it one more time. Mm-hmm. Like one more time. I want to give it a good round of pageantry, you know? And so I'm like getting ready and stuff and I walk out and my dad's standing right there and I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's like, can I not come support you?
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I just didn't think you would be here. Like, you know, it's just a little bitty hometown pageant. Like, I didn't think you'd be here. He's like, well, I mean, it's nothing else to do outside. It's raining. He goes, the goats are fed. The horses
Such
are fed.
A southern dad.
The dogs are fed. So it's nothing else to do.
So
and I'm like,
well, I was bored.
Yeah. He just goes out there, he sits down, and he's with my other two friends, and they're just talking, and then, like, the pageant's over with, and I won. I was like, okay, I needed this, like, pump, because I ain't done pageant since I was, like, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I needed that, you know, refuel of, like, I still got it in me, or I can still do it. My dad's like, are y'all ready to go to the bar? And I'm like, Dad, it's 5 o'clock, the bar doesn't open till 7, and I have to work tonight. He's like, yeah, but okay, we can all go. And I'm like, he loves going. My dad will get up on our dance box. He will dance.
Mm.
Oh, honey, he'll get down.
I want like this. Dad.
We need to meet your dad.
Oh,
just bring your dad to Broadway.
Have y'all not? Oh, yes. God. Oh God,
dude.
I would have to be sober for my dad to come to Broadway.
You're telling me. That one right there drug my mama around Broadway one night to the point where she didn't know her fucking name. Do you remember that?
And we had a good time.
I literally would have to be sober for my dad to come to Broadway because he likes to party with everybody. And he thinks everybody is his friend.
Yeah, that's
and
my mom.
If there's a dance floor, he is going to be on it. But he don't know how. He can't dance. I did not get the dancing from him, I will tell you that.
Okay.
But he will come up, and everybody will be his friends. Like, all the girls, like...
Oh, they're so into it.
They flawed to him. Like, one night I was bartending, and I'm like, where's my dad? And I'm like looking around, and it's like a whole circle around my dad on the bar.
Women?
Yes.
Just on so the you dance know, floor. And you want to know what?
My mom is just chilling over here on the side, just watching.
Yeah.
Just, she's like, I don't care. He goes home with me, so you can have him.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is at that point.
Yeah, she's like, he goes home with me. Yeah. It doesn't matter now. So he gets up, like, on our DJ dance box, and he's dancing away. And this lady starts, like, throwing dollars at him. He made, like, $10.
Hell yeah, he did.
He thought he was something.
Dad knows what he's doing.
He was up there kicking it, trying to kick it to my mama standing behind him, like, trying to kick the dollars.
He was like, here, keep this.
So my mom was just over there just picking it up. Just putting it together.
Okay, that's relationship goals, though.
That is relationship.
Let's be for real. That's
me and you.
My mom is like, okay. Like, he goes home with me. I drive him, just let him do what he wants. He does what he wants. Now, she does have him on, like, a little band right now.
Oh.
Yeah, this one girl danced on him.
He did too much.
He did a little too much. So, he's on a band. So, he has to ask.
That way.
Yeah, he has to ask for permission to go up there now.
She reeled him back in just a little bit.
She said, hold on, let me remind you who the boss is.
Yeah, she did. She did. Uh-huh. She did. He came up there a couple days ago. We had practice bulls, and he called me. He's like, Mama says I can come because it's a Thursday. I said, okay, well, you know, not many people's going to be up there. It don't matter. Not even 2 seconds later, there's, like, nobody in this bar. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the bull riders riding.
Yeah.
My dad is out on the dance floor by himself.
Oh, God, I love this man.
Getting it. Like, when I say getting it, like, freaking getting it.
Can I drink with him one night?
Dad to us, please.
Oh, I will.
We would turn out.
Y'all need to come to rodeo. Y'all need to come to Slide and Ride Rodeo.
I love going to rodeos and acting like I know what I'm looking at.
That's the thing. Like, this is, like, it's... So it's not like a club, but it's not like just like your normal hometown bar.
Wait, are you telling me rodeos is the name of the bar?
It's called Slide and Ride Rodeo.
I most genuinely thought you meant an actual rodeo.
There is live bull riding.
You know who works there, right?
Yeah, Victoria, yeah.
Yeah.
She's been telling me to go there for like months now.
You're telling me you guys have known clear and true about a place where I could literally find a cowboy and nobody decided to take me there and I've been mending my broken heart for the last 2 months?
Yes.
A couple hours. It's like, what, 2 hours, two and a half?
About two hours.
It's an hour and 50 because I live 5 minutes from the place. Yeah, so 2 hours.
I feel betrayed by my friends.
You should be.
You're also never in town. And then there's... And if you were in town, I'd say, hey, let's go 2 hours. You'd be like, no.
I'd be like, absolutely not. That's true, actually. That's fair. Because even right now, Brady wants us to meet him at a bar beside his house. And I'm like, God, I don't want to do that.
We have live bull riding every weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Are the cowboys hot?
Gracie's saying yes because she dates one of them.
You date one?
She dates one.
I don't want to hear your opinion. You're wifed up. You just.
I date one more.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is he hot? He's hot.
She said,
"Does he have hot friends?"
He don't have friends.
He really don't. He honestly don't.
That was a dead end.
Yes.
And Macy's in that era.
And I'm at that age. I could either fuck the cowboy or fuck the cowboy's dad.
Justin Woody. I'm gonna say I can say his name because he will listen to this podcast. So.
Not if y'all are trying to hook me up with him. We got to make it a secret,
huh?
If this is my next boyfriend,
like, that's perfect.
And he's like a world
champion.
Yeah. That means
you found it.
You found it.
Mm-hmm. Let's pimp her out, y'all.
Yeah, pimp me out. I ain't got nothing.
Did I get any money from that or no?
Huh? No, you did not help with that.
Fuck.
Actually, I'm the one who mentioned it, so I get all the bonus credits.
That's true.
That's fair.
You should cancel any plans you have this weekend and come with us to Vegas tomorrow.
I have to work.
Damn, that sucks.
Where are you doing in Vegas anyway?
Literally nothing.
We have no plans.
We have no plans.
I will take care of my parents. Yeah. Like, that is always one thing I made known in myself, that I would take care of my parents. And that I would not let them struggle. Because they have struggled, like, you know, you and your mom growing up. Like, you know, my parents have struggled.
Yeah.
Like... They've been there.
I've literally watched my mom borrow groceries. I remember me and my mom were talking about this just the other day. I told her, she was like, I can't believe that's one of your core memories. But I was like, I remember the first time you freaked out on me in the grocery store because I picked up a pack of M&Ms and put it in the cart. And you were like, you can't just put things in the cart without thinking about how much money it's going to cost. And I was like, God bless America, woman, yeah. It's M&Ms.
It was just M&Ms, Mom.
Take a breath. They were probably 99 cents at that point.
Yeah.
It was one of the little mini like canisters, the pop-up in canisters of M&Ms. She freaked out. I mean, I remember, you know, borrowing money for groceries and like she made freaking dollar store shepherd's pie so often that I used to walk over to my grandma's house and like cry and beg for a bowl of Easy Mac or cereal or something. Like and we weren't always broke, you know, there were it was fluctuating.
That's how it was for my mom and dad. And then it was like when me and my brother were kind of like, you know, I was like four maybe, you know, and stuff, we had good things like going for us, you know, like I said, we were like a known like in our hometown and stuff. And then my dad worked at like FedEx at this point. So it was like, he was a welder, like on the elevator shafts and stuff. So like my dad made pretty good money. My mom worked for like her parents that owned hotels in our hometown and like owned hotels in Arkansas. So it was like, finally, you know how life is. It got up, you know, whatever.
Things got better. Yeah.
And then, it got to where my brother was like really known in baseball. And we had to move to Memphis, Tennessee. And we lived in South Haven because he went to the University of Memphis and played baseball. He was, like, second in the state of Tennessee on second baseman. Yeah. Went off and, like, played for USA Baseball, tried out for the Colorado Rockies on the MLB, like, did, like, their whole spring training and everything with them. So, like, we were always a known family. And then I was, like, kind of put to the burner for a little bit, like, you know, because my brother was that, you know, my brother was top-notch. Like, I was just the little girl that, I was the tomboy, actually, let me tell you that. I hung out with all the other little, like, all his friends, his brothers, like, little brothers. So, I was a tomboy. So, when I grew up, I wanted to play baseball. So, what did I do? I played baseball. My dad put me on the baseball team.
Yeah. Perfect.
And I was the only girl on the baseball team. And then it got to the point where they were like, you know, she can't play no more. Like, she's going to have to go to softball. I go to softball. I think I made it maybe a year. And then the coach kept, like, sending me on the bench because it was like, you know, favoritism again where you run into that. And it was like the
– oh, yeah, in small towns.
Yeah, in small towns. So it was like – no, actually, this was a travel team.
Oh, even worse.
So I was on a travel team. Travel team. So it was like the daughter. Worse. So like his daughter always got to play.
His daughter was the pitcher, right?
And I had the highest batting average at 11 years old. Like I had a high school batting average at 11 years old.
Damn.
And yeah. So like athletics ran through my family. And plus every time my brother would go to like trainings, I would get in the next batting cage over. To what he was getting critiqued on. So I used it on myself.
Yeah.
So when I started playing travel softball, that I was like, oh, I'm a badass. Like, you know, like I
go, I'm way cooler.
Yeah. Like I didn't need it. Well, national championship, we're out there, you know, playing. I get benched. I'm like, bro, I'm like, coach, put me in. Like I can hit off this girl. Like put me in. And never got put in. We ended up losing. And I looked at my dad. I said, I'll never play softball ever again. Never played.
And she didn't.
And I never picked up the bat. So then my dad was like looking at my mom like, we have to put her in something. Like, you know, we can't just like let her go. You know, my dad's a trooper during all this. My dad goes and finds me a dance studio in South Haven, Mississippi and signs me up for dance class.
You have a great dad.
Oh, he took me to everything. Like, he took me to dance recitals, like, dance practice. My dad did everything, but he didn't want me to feel left out because he knew, like, my brother was doing all of this and I was just there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just took it in. I just traveled with him, like, him and mom, you know, and going to, like, Washington, D.C. for him to be with, like, Team USA and all that.
Yeah, so he was like, okay, she needs her own
thing to do. To do something.
Yeah.
And so I started dancing, and then it was like, I think my first dance recital or whatever, my mom was like, oh shit, like, she's good. You know, like, she has something. And I never thought I was good, but I knew I was learning, like, at a higher age limit.
Right.
Like, I was, like, 12, but I could hang with the 16-year-olds in the three-year, like, dance divisions. So I kept dancing out there, you know, whatever. Well, then it got to the point where my dance coach pulled my mom to the side and was like, you need to take her to like a competitive dance studio. At that point, my brother wanted, you know how you go through phases of high school where he was like, I want to graduate in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And so he transferred from Memphis to our hometown and wanted to graduate there. Well, you know, when you transfer schools, you get sat out on the bench because, you know, of the districts or whatever you want to call it. I'm not a...
Fucking politics.
Yeah, I'm not a baseball expert of like that way, but I know baseball. But
yeah,
he had to sit out, so... it was like they were like qualifying for like something for the baseball for like the high school teams, and the coach actually puts him in because he like would be able to qualify that next day.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, well, if we put him in, like, nobody will really know.
Yeah, they want
to. Oh, you know how politics are in small towns. They knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah, they knew.
They called the next day, and I think they like got in trouble for it, you know, whatever. So he got like sat out again, and then he finally got to play in his high school thing. And in my head, I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Like, you could have finished out. And, like, all of his friends that he was playing baseball with in Memphis, they all play MLB right now.
Damn.
Damn.
Like, every single one of them play MLB. And one of them right now is playing for, don't quote me on this, I might be wrong, but I haven't looked at his Facebook post, either Germany or, like.
So he's playing overseas?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, one of those. I'm not like overseas 100% price. Positive, but he's playing overseas now. Mm-hmm. And we got some, I think. I know we still got some for the Colorado Rockies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, I look back and I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah, well.
Like, why?
I'm but, you sure, know, God sure has a different, you
know.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, I know he does because he used to. I won't say I know he does, but I know he used to. I know he misses it. But now he serves for the United States Army. So.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, you said that earlier. That's right.
He's in the Army. He's served for 7.5 years.
That's awesome.
And still thriving through it. So it's like, I went through a lot as a young kid.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 13 years old, my brother left me. Yeah. And that's why it took a lot because, you know, not a lot of people know that about me. Like, not a lot of people know my brother was, like, my best friend growing up. Like, if my brother wouldn't hung out at Fred's parking lot, I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we did everything together.
Yeah.
And so, like, when my brother left when I was 13, it was, like, a depression state for me. I didn't know how to take it. Right. I didn't know how to take, like, not being able to talk to him every single day.
And that's
like
a big change.
Knowing, yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, I didn't have friends. Like, the friends I had was my dance friends.
Yeah.
And so dance really became my passion at 13 because I danced through the pain that I had to go through with, like, losing him to the military.
Right.
And then my first ever national dance competition, I won, and the solo and everything was dedicated to him. And it was called Tears of an Angel.
Aww.
And it was, like, talking about, like, somebody leaving, you know, and you, like, having to let them go and, like, do their things and stuff. And that has been, like, my winning solo for all the way up till now.
So that's why your mom says that, like, God gave you that gift.
God gave you that gift.
He gave you that whenever, because he knew that that was, you
needed it. I didn't have nothing, yeah. And so that's why I always, like, rely back to dance. Like, when I'm really sad, my parents will catch me. Like, I'll lock the living room doors and I'll connect my phone to the sound bar. And if you see me dancing in the living room, just leave me. Like, that's what I
do. Why did I get literal chills all across my body when you said that?
Like, that's literally my passion. That's how I let everything go. Like, when I'm really, really sad and depressed, I have to go dancing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I have to go dance. So, like, my brother is my story. When I'm sad and depressed,
I just, you know, yeah. I don't know.
That reminded me of Footloose, and I don't know why.
That girl be doing Footloose in there. But my brother is always my story, and that, like, took into, like, pageants and stuff. Yeah. Like, when we would do interviews, because, like, I did Miss Tennessee's Outstanding Teen.
Mm-hmm.
And the last year I competed for Miss Tennessee's Outstanding Teen, I placed third runner-up. Mm-hmm. And in that moment of, like, interviews and stuff, you know, they asked me, like, what is your talent about? And, like, that always was my favorite question because, like, that was my talent. Like, my talent is dancing for my brother.
Yeah.
Like, that is where I find my peace into, like, my happiness is because I just let it all go. That is whatever's bothering story. Me, I just let it go.
Chills.
I love the family support.
That's so cute. Yeah.
And so now I've just always just danced, and I still use that dance solo to this day.
Oh, I mean, you should. It's probably ingrained in your brain.
Oh, it is. Like, if that song played right now,
you'd just be doing it. Yeah.
I'll just be going at it. Like, it's just, that's what it is. And so that's how I became a dancer. That's how people's always known my family.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I will say, like, social media don't know that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Social media sees, like, I'm kind of glad to be on here with y'all because, like, social media has always seen this front of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I will say, like, I started the front of, like, my lifted up truck, my razor I had a razor, and that's how I became famous. And then mm-hmm. it got to where it was like every time I had a heartbreak or a breakup, I posted about it.
Right.
I'd be like POV to my ex.
Yeah.
Or when he cheats on you, like, you know, I did all that. Well, then it got to the point where, like, that's how people knew me.
Yeah.
So I kept doing it.
Right.
And I never spoke on freaking TikTok. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know. Nobody knew my life. Yeah. I think they know my life.
Yeah. And then they come up with their idea of who you are. And
yeah. They're like, she's just fake. She's right. This, she's that. And, like, in reality, I'm not fake. Like, no. If I don't like you, I don't like you.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk to you.
That's just how I am.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if you don't like me, that is completely fine, baby. People have not liked me my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I made that one TikTok. I was like, if you do not like me, just block me.
Just block me.
Just block me. Cause
and they won't.
Let me go.
Yeah. Let me go. But yeah, like, nobody knew my life, you know, and I live on a farm.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have goats. Mm-hmm. We have two horses, and I actually recently just got, like, a retired Kentucky Derby horse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
So we're working on him a little bit because, like, I will say, like, once I moved out to Texas, you know, if you live in Texas, you need to be Western. You know, like, you need to be, like, this diehard Western person. And I completely get it because everybody has, like, their own, you know, feel about it. And I probably get a little heat from this, but, you know, I don't really care. But my Western is completely different.
Yeah, which is totally fine because art is subjective and fashion is art.
And so my Western was when I was, like, little. I had a Palomino horse. When I was little, if you couldn't find me in the house, I was more than likely sunbathing on my Palomino horse. Just laying there on top of it. Just kicked back like this. Just having a blast.
You're a hippie.
Yeah. Had it. And he would just eat, like, do whatever. I'd go get a halter. I'd put a halter on him. I'd put him in the front yard.
Yeah.
Sunbathe. Sit on him. Stand on him. He did not care. That's run awesome. Under him. Give him a bath. Braid his tail. Braid his mane. Like, that was my Western. Now, we had Western pleasure horses. But colleges showed them. Mm-hmm. We didn't show them. But we went. Mm-hmm. And we watched. But my also other Western is, like, I'm a fourth generation farmer.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up farming. I grew up being the only girl.
Yeah, and people can say, oh, that's fake. You know, she's not really this. They can say, maybe I'll pull up receipts. Really, like, right.
You want me to call the farm that lives right down the road from me, like, when they didn't have no grain buggy driver?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, can you please just come in for an hour? Yes, baby, I'm on my way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I grew up doing the farm.
Right. But the people who are going to make up stories and say mean things, they're not going to do their research. They just want to think that you're fake and that you've never. But the thing is, how did that idea make sense? Like, oh, because she's not really Southern. Okay.
That's what I've been getting here. I'm a fake Southern now. And wow. I'm like, okay, am I fake matter? Western? I'm fake this. Like, I don't call myself a Western influencer. I am not.
Right.
A Western influencer.
Right.
I love the style of Western. Yeah. And, like, changing it up and going to the NFR
mm-hmm.
and seeing everybody and knowing people, like, you know, that are in the NFR. But I am not a Western influencer, and I'm putting that out there. I'm not, because I've grown up differently. I'm not redneck.
Right.
And I'm not this slang country girl. Like, I am a true Southern girl that has grew up half in the Western industry and half not.
Yeah.
But I grew up as a farm girl.
Yeah.
I grew up farming. Like, that is how I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up being the grain buggy driver, going and freaking bush hogging, baling hay. Like, that's me.
That's who you
but
are,
I can
yeah.
tell you, like, I learned a lot living in Texas. You know, I learned, like, actually, like, you know, saddling horses and stuff like that. Because, like, when I was six, all I cared about was going to sunbathing on my Palomino horse. That's all I cared about. I didn't care about saddling him. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I just got on him.
Yeah.
He didn't care. Like, he wasn't going nowhere. Like, I didn't have to throw a saddle on him, you know? And I did learn that when I lived in Texas. And then now, like, looking at it, like, yeah, I want to get in it. Like, I got this Kentucky Derby horse for my cousin. And I'm like, I want to break him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do all the things because my dad has done that.
Yeah.
But I never took the time out of my day to go and learn it.
Yeah.
I did other things.
Right. But so now you want to do it.
Now I want to do it. Now, that's because I want to prove people life. That, like, hey, like, I can do this, but I just didn't choose to live that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I didn't choose to. You can change and do whatever the hell you want to do whenever the hell you want to
do. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to be a dancer. Sure. Yeah. Like, I was just a country girl that would go ride. I'd go mudding. I'd go do this. Like, I might wear a lot of makeup and some rhinestones, but if you called me and said, hey, Amanda, we're going mud today, I'd be like, on my way.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And that is, you know, I mean, that's just the realness of it. I think people want to see this one specific thing, and if they don't see this one specific thing out of you, then they all of a sudden want to say that you're fake or you're this or that. I can do what the hell I want, and I'm gonna share it, because if I'm not sharing it, then my platform is not real. It's just based off of this one thing I want y'all to see.
I'm like glad to be here today, because I'm like, here y'all go.
Yeah,
like here you go. Here's actually my life.
Yeah,
y'all can pin and take whatever y'all want out of it and have it. Yes, what I post on social media is not who I am. I'm very gullible, and I'm getting better at it, because I don't post about, you know, exes and stuff anymore, because you know, TikTok has changed now. Mm-hmm. But this is my life. I live on a farm. Just a, you know, farm girl. Like the other day, my dad was moving hay bales, and he was coming back, and I'm like, what are you doing? Are you trying to be in the back of my TikTok? He said, nope, run out of beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we don't meet Dad, I'm gonna be really upset.
Yeah, we need to meet Dad. Yes,
whenever y'all come, I'll make sure he goes. Or whenever I'll make a big plan.
Bring him to Broadway.
I'll bring him to Broadway.
Yeah, please. That's what I need.
Can y'all say hey to Brooke from the boot? That's all I ask.
Hey Brooke from the boot.
Hey Brooke from the boot.
There we go.
Wait, are you on live right now?
No, somebody from Snapchat.
I was about to die if he was on live.
I did too. I was like, dang, they're getting
he was bored over there.
I know. I feel bad for Reed. Well, I'll have to come back, and we'll have to do another one where it's like Reed can talk.
Oh, no, it's cool.
I feel like
chilling.
Me and Macy have really had a
We just had
heart.
Girly conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. I hit that Zen for a minute, and I was spaced out.
You were buzzing? My head was buzzing.
I feel like I was connecting with Macy, so I was like...
We were definitely on the same
I got page. Natural. Like, I was like, okay, like, here's my life. Like,
I know. Yeah. I noticed it whenever it happened, too. I was like, oh, here we are now.
Here we go. Here she
talking,
goes.
Talking.
It has to give... You have to give me a moment.
It always does.
Yep. No, it's all good, because I'm going to get a dude up here one day, and me and him will do-do-do-do, and Macy's going to be like...
That's fine.
That happened once. I forget who it was, but I wasn't talking for a while. Oh, it was fucking Chris Webb. There's a part...
Yes, y'all... Yes.
There's a part on YouTube where I was like...
That's how you could zoom on his face, and he's probably here.
Oh, I'm gonna do it a lot. Well, you need to bring Dad to sit with us.
Oh gosh,
on Toxic Talk.
I think that would be perfect. Honestly,
that would be a great.
We
episode.
Need to hear about that in
you
the comments.
Definitely would have to bleep out a lot of him.
I don't bleep out anything.
Well, it'd be edited somehow.
We say bad stuff. Oh, now if he says stuff he don't want me to put on.
Yeah, but see, he don't be knowing what he be saying. That's the problem.
Well, maybe I'll just have to do what I do with some of my big
artists.
I would
have to make him a list. Like, whatever y'all are going to ask him, I'm going to have to make him a list.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, all right, do not say this.
Yeah.
Let's take him out one night, and then the next day we'll do the podcast.
Oh,
and we'll just talk
yeah.
about going out with
yes,
him.
Yes, that would be perfect.
That's what we're going to do.
Yes.
All right, so Amanda's part two is going to be with her dad.
Yeah, Bubba.
We're going to take
Bubba's coming. People love Bubba.
All right, we're ready to see Bubba. Well, thank y'all for listening to Toxic Talk. Amanda, thank you for coming.
Thank y'all for having me. I can't wait to come back.
I know, yeah. With dad.
With dad.
Don't forget.
Reed's excited. Reed's like, I finally get a partner.
No, I know. Let's
he
do
needs
that.
One.
I'm Macy Nicole. Please follow me on Spotify. Just Macy Nicole, Macy Nicole Walker everywhere else. And, of course, the Boudoir Coaching on Playboy and OnlyFans. That link is in my bio.
I'm Reed Harrell 1 on TikTok. Reed Harrell on everything else. Follow me on OnlyFans, where I post my wiener.
And I'm just Amanda Simmons. TikTok is Amanda Simmons 77. Instagram, Amanda Simmons Official 2.0. And my boutique, BroadwayCrazy.com.
Yes, make sure y'all go check
yes,
out.
Yes, y'all
boutique.
Go check it out. I'm not like Reed over here, so.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Toxic Talk with Macy and Reed.
Okay, yeah, maybe she had a reason, but like, she could have found a better way. Like, stabbing's very intense and vulgar.
Follow us on TikTok and Instagram and get brand new merch at themacynicole.com.